50 years ago, heart transplants that actually kept people alive seemed to be an impossible dream. Today, thousands of people have heart transplants every year. They're a reality. And it turns out that God, well, God is in the heart transplant business too. In fact, he's been in that business for a very long time. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take another look at your heart from a different perspective. And please do stick with me because very soon I'll be telling you about my special edition book. It's called Your Road to a Stunning Life. And I'd love to send you a free copy to help you live the life, the abundant life, that Jesus died and rose again to give you. Don't know about you, but I'm old enough to remember the very first heart transplant. It was performed by Dr. Christian Barnard on the 3rd of December, 1967. The patient was Mr. Louis Wyszkanski. Sadly, he lived for only 18 days and died in the end of pneumonia. But his heart beat strongly until the end. Since then, of course, there have been many thousands of heart transplants, and these days they are much more successful. The doctors have things pretty well figured out. They know how to stop the body rejecting the heart. I mean, for me, it's impossible to imagine. How do they do that? 40-something years ago, heart transplants were a pipe dream. Today, thousands are conducted each year around the world. But here's the thing. When the old heart is so diseased, sometimes the only option to bring life is to implant a new heart, a heart that's strong and healthy, a heart that will pump life to each of the 100 trillion or so cells in the human body for a good many years to come. But this heart transplant idea, it's not something new. Actually, it's been around for thousands of years. Really. This week on the program, we're looking at our hearts. No, not the fist-sized muscle that beats between 2 and 3 billion times during the average lifetime, but our heart, your heart, my heart, that deep place inside where we live, that place where we take things to heart, where we lose heart, where we long for something with all our heart. When God talks about the heart, he's talking about the inner being, the innermost part, the seat of our appetites, our emotions, our passions, our courage, our fear, the middle, the center, the innermost part of the person. And I remember when I first became aware of God, I mean, really, a decade and a half ago, when I decided to give my life to Jesus Christ. You know, the amazing thing is, for all my life before then, I thought I was fine. Yeah, okay, I wasn't perfect, but I was pretty full of myself. You know, I thought I was pretty crash hot. But then one day, the Spirit of God came and touched me in a way that opened my heart. And one of the first things I realized was how rotten I was to the core. It wasn't something I had to think a lot about. It wasn't some guilt trip. I just knew when I gazed upon God for the first time, I so deeply, so powerfully, for the first time, really understood what he meant by that little word, sin. I was full of it. And you know something? When we get a powerful revelation of God like that, when his Spirit reaches out and touches us with his truth like that, it's a really common reaction. We're gripped by our own inadequacy. And I think that's important, finally to realize that the clothes in which we once boasted were nothing but insubstantial rags. It happened to the prophet Isaiah. Have a listen to what happens when he sees God down in the temple in Jerusalem in the 8th century BC. Have a listen. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Do you see the reaction? This reaction of a sinner who encounters the holy, pure, perfect, glorious God. Woe is me, I am lost. He recognises his own sinfulness in the presence of God. Now, if this kind of God experience has never happened in your life, you might think, well, I'm getting a bit weird here. But for me, when I experience the warmth and the love and the forgiveness and the glory and the power of God, it was in that place that I came to realize how diseased my heart truly was, how desperate my need truly was. I realized the poverty of my own spirit, my own situation. And yet it was for me and for you that Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I thought, well, now what? What do I do? How do I deal with this mess that I'm in? That's my natural reaction all the time. I'm a doer, so I say, well, what do I have to do? Then one day, I stumbled across these words in the Old Testament, and they changed everything. Have a listen. This is God's promise through the prophet Ezekiel, and you can read it for yourself in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 to 29. God says this, "A new heart I will give to you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. Then you shall live in the land that I gave to your ancestors, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness, and I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you." What an amazing promise. God promises them a heart transplant. That's what God promises us, a new heart. Have a listen again. "I'll remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you," God's spirit within us. And that's what changes the way we live. See, there's a flow-on effect of this new spirit. And if you read that passage again, it talks about God's blessing. "Then you shall live in the land that I gave to your ancestors. You will be my people. I will be your God. I will save you from your uncleanness. I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you." See, God offers us a new heart and a new spirit. And from those things, we change and the blessing flows. Sometimes when a heart is so diseased, we can operate on it as much as we like, but nothing makes a difference. We need a new heart. Have you ever felt like Isaiah? Have you ever felt that sense that no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, you'll never be good enough for God? Well, me too. And I want to share a prayer with you, the prayer of King David, after he'd committed adultery and murder, and he came to his senses before God. He felt so rotten, so dirty, so unclean, and so he cast himself on the mercy of God. And this is what he prayed. You can read it in Psalm 51, verses 10 to 12. He prays, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit in me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit." Just when we think we have to do it all ourselves, what we discover is that actually God has a different plan. God plans to give us a new heart and a new spirit. Nothing that we do, something that God does. And you know something? That's what I've discovered. In one sense, God changing me is still so much a work in progress. But the closer I drew to God, the more I discovered changed attitudes, a compassion I never had before, a desire to serve and not to be seen, a heart for people and a passion to serve God. I never had those things. And somehow they just happened without me thinking too much about them. God gave me a new heart, just like that. It's easy to come to the conclusion that life isn't turning out to be all that it was cracked up to be. But God, out of his great love for you, has a stunning plan for the road ahead, your road. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of my special edition book, Your Road to a Stunning Life, to help you live the life, the abundant life, that Jesus died and rose again to give you. God's word is alive and active, amen? So I'm praying that he'll help you discover the life that he has planned for you through this book. You can request your free copy at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that ebook will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.